So let's do something rather interesting here. Let's do a bit of a demonstration, and I'll go through several metaphors, which are all universal in structure. Though before we go into this experience, think about something in your life you'd like to change. It could be a feeling you'd like to have less of, less stress, less fear, less staying up late at night. It could be a thing you'd like to do more of. It could be a specific habit or behavior you'd either like to do more of or do less of. Just take a moment to yourself and just consider something that you'd personally like to change. And I'll tell you in advance where I'm going with this, and I don't share this story to offend, but there's an amazing demonstration that the amazing Randi, James Randi, used to do. He led up several skeptic organizations, and he would go into a college classroom, and the pitch was, we have studied your grade history, we have tracked your transcripts, and based on everything we've learned about you, we've put together a horoscope based on your star sign, based on numerology, based on all these different filters we factored in to write a horoscope specifically to you. Take a few moments, read it to yourself. Okay, whose horoscope spoke directly to them? This is incredible. This knew everything about me. And then the payoff from Randi's demo was, okay, now switch your horoscope with someone else. And everybody had the same piece of paper, which at its core was a technique called cold reading, of casting these very general statements. Because, John, I'm picking up from you right now, there's a concern right now of something around money, and there's an issue with money, and there's a family member of yours, female, maybe a little older, and something involving her health. Am I getting a hit here? Not yet. Which these are all massively general statements. You know, you find out, you see the woman wearing a cross, and maybe I can assume there's someone named Catherine in your family. But she was someone in a congregation you used to be a member of, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And that's basically what Randi was doing. Yeah. But I share that not to criticize or cast a judgment on it, though notice that I'm going to tell several stories in the next few moments, and even by giving you the roadmap ahead of time, it's kind of more fun to pick it out for yourself. With the advanced knowledge, are the ways that you're going to hear the specifics of your issue inside of these stories. Now, obviously, you're in my office, I know what you're here for, and I can get specific, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. So, for a moment now, everyone have a thing in mind that you'd like to address? Yeah? If so, nod your head so I know I can continue. You got something, Tom? Think of something?
I will.
There you go. Or you can just mark through it. It's up to you. Take a nice deep breath in. Let those lungs fill with air. As you exhale, just relax all the way down. Letting those eyelids close. Allowing this moment to be a time for you. To go inside and explore possibilities. To go inside and break through challenges of the past. To allow yourself to go into your own mind and body and begin to create the outcomes, the desires you absolutely deserve. And just for this brief moment now, become aware of this thing that for the purpose of our time together, I can just simply refer to as the issue. Become aware of that issue that you are ready to address now. Consider the way that things have been up until this point. Consider the way that things have been up until this moment now. So we could say that you've tried solving that issue. We could say you've tried solving that challenge. Though as I like to say, all that matters right now is you've tried having that problem. And that just doesn't work for you anymore. Otherwise, you wouldn't be thinking of it now. And of all things, it reminds me of a story. A story of a statue that was carved maybe 500 or 600 years ago. A classic statue of the character of David carved by the great artist Michelangelo. The statue was commissioned by the church of the day, yet for whatever reason, Michelangelo did not yet feel ready to begin carving that statue. Perhaps the inspiration wasn't there. Perhaps it was something else. Several years went by. And he just did not begin that statue. Until one day, the story goes, he found himself in a rock quarry, which If you don't know what that is, think of the opening sequence to the Flintstones and Remove the Dinosaurs. Now you're in a rock quarry. And in that moment, this great artist, Michelangelo's eyes, fell upon a massive mound of raw, jagged, imperfect stone, imperfect marble. And in that moment, it was as if his eyes pierced through the solid stone, and he saw the statue was there inside, waiting to be found. So he obtained that rock, he obtained that stone, he went back to his studio, wherever he worked, and that great artist began carving. Yet for that great artist, it was never a process of creation. No. Instead, it was a process of discovery. As he would chip away, as he would sand away, as he would polish away all of those layers that just no longer belonged. So it's true, you could travel to Italy. That statue still stands to this day in Florence. You could discover that statue with your own eyes, the same way that great artist discovered it as well, by chipping away, by sanding away, by polishing away all of those layers that just no longer belonged. And perhaps your conscious mind has already put together exactly why I tell you this story today. When already deep within your unconscious now, becoming aware of the things, it's time for you to begin to chip away, sand away, polish away, and truly discover within yourself now. Just like the story of a young girl who was one time here in this office. She was tall, she was 14 years old, and she could run fast. And somehow, apparently, this is the criteria for a track and field coach to tap her on the shoulder and say, "You're going to be a pole vaulter." And yet, with a fear of heights, that's how she found herself here in this office. She could run fast. She was incredibly agile. Yet the moment she approached that platform with that big stick, whatever they call it, and planted it into the ground, the moment she'd begin to propel her body over that bar, she'd begin to second-guess herself. Her running would hit an alternate pattern. She'd slow down. Several times, she rather awkwardly knocked the entire apparatus over. Yet I tell you her story because there's something rather interesting that she said to me one day. As she said it, "I refuse to look at any time I've tried to make it over that bar and didn't make it over as a failure. If I label myself as a failure, that's all I'll ever amount to. Instead, every moment so far has been training, conditioning, preparation for that one moment where I'm going to get it right. And I'm going to have this skill for the rest of my life." Yeah, she was 14. And sure enough, as we worked together, she released that challenge. She released that fear, feeling that confidence rise now as her body propelled up over that bar, landing with both feet firmly planted back on the ground, a big smile on her face. She'd done it. Leading up to that one moment where, yes, she got it right. Traveling on to win in several competitions and regionals as well. And having that skill once and for all for the rest of your life. And again, perhaps your mind has already put together the nuts and bolts of why I share this story now. Yet deep within the mind and body, drawing out the aspects of training, conditioning, those things you'll do today, those things you'll do tomorrow, that as you realize that change now, this is nothing new. This is who you are. Every breath guiding you deeper down. And of all things, another story. This time about baby elephants. Yeah, baby elephants. Though before I chat with you about the elephants, it might be helpful to reference something you might already be aware of. Because without this little piece of information, the story of the elephants may sound rather cruel and unusual. Yet in the right context, you realize it's the same concept. Maybe you've heard of this thing called crate training, where if you were to get a puppy, apparently the fastest way to house train a dog is this little thing they call crate training, which is really fancy wording for let the dog sleep in a cage. The cage should only be big enough for the dog to walk in and maybe turn around once. And the trick to it is, you just basically have the dog sleep in the cage. And as soon as you wake up in the morning, you immediately take the dog outside, let it do its business. Because what's interesting is, even as a puppy, the dog will not make a mess where it sleeps. Even when we did this process with our dog, she treated that area as her home. She'd take a nap throughout the day. She'd wander upstairs and crawl inside of that little crate, that little cage. And as the dog grows, you expand the cage, and eventually you've got a well-trained dog. Now, I reference that because otherwise, again, this thing about elephants may sound a little mean. Though you've got to remember, this is a much bigger animal. For whatever reason that they might want to train an elephant, what they begin the process by doing is attaching a large metal collar around the neck of that animal. It'd be heavy to you or I. Yet remember, even as an infant, this thing is a mighty strong animal. Attached to the metal collar, they put a thick metal chain. Again, for you or me, it'd be cumbersome. Yet for the elephant, it's perfectly fine. The chain is then attached to a metal stake driven several feet into the ground. So if the elephant were to try to get away, the chain would restrain the animal. Though again, it's the same concept as the crate training. The elephant begins to treat that area as if it were its home. And there's certain training tasks the trainers would never do in that little circumference of an area. So maybe you've heard the phrase that an elephant never forgets. And what's interesting is as the elephant grows, the elephant has learned a behavior. And by doing so, the trainers don't have to work as hard as they did before. Rather than a thick metal collar, they use a leather harness, like what you would put on a dog, just bigger. Rather than the metal chain, they use a thick rope, kind of like what we might use from a Home Depot to tie something to the roof of our car or the back of it. And it's tied to that same stake in the ground, and to be quite fair, the elephant could snap the rope without much effort. Yet it's still holding on to that limitation of its past. It's still holding on to that restraint that it had already learned before. But then one day, for whatever reason, something changes. It might be the threat of danger. It might be the sound of a loud noise. It might be something that we never possibly know. Yet for whatever reason, the elephant takes a single step, and just like that, the rope snaps like a piece of thread. And with that one single step, the elephant is free. And it takes another step. The steps turn into a walk. The walk turns into a jog. The jog turns into a full run, into a full gallop. And in that moment, when the trainers capture the elephant and restrain it once again, it snaps the rope again. They revert back to the chain, the strength of this animal. It breaks the chain. And maybe you've seen movies, television programs, documentaries, where they have to fly an elephant back to the wild. Very often, these are the creatures they're talking about. Because once it unlearns that restraint from its past, once it learns that thing that was holding you back is only as real as you imagine it to be, it can never go back to the old way. because of all things, it's like the beginning of a classic novel. Whether you've read it, whether you haven't read it, these words will sound familiar. A classic novel that begins with the phrase, "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us." Classic words I'm sure you've heard before. Yet perhaps you could begin to allow yourself to remember and recall at all levels of the mind. What's interesting is this passage all refers to one specific point in time. One specific point in time, with wisdom and foolishness, light and darkness, everything and nothing. Yet, of course, again, what's interesting is all referring to one specific point in time. Kind of like the old phrase of people seeing the glass as half full or half empty, that it really all comes down to perception. And as you take this moment now, and become aware as if up until now things have been the worst of times, as if things have been the darkness, and realize as if by simply shedding the light in a different direction what you allowed to change now. Because from this day forward, allowing whatever reasons why this had to be a challenge to instead now become every reason why it's the perfect time to make this change. Now. Because what's interesting is even as you walk out that door today, different things in your environment, you begin to notice differently. Seeing things in brand new perspectives, as if seeds have been planted all around your environment. That not only while you sleep and dream wonderful imaginative thoughts inspiring you, encouraging you, yet even the random moment of flipping through the channels of a television, whether it's a rerun of a television show you've enjoyed, whether it's a movie, how just the other day flipping through the channels, there's that final moment of that classic film where there's the lion who wanted courage, there's the tin man who wanted a heart, there's the scarecrow who wanted a brain. There's little Dorothy who just wanted to go home. And of course, at the end of it, realizing the lion had stood up to those trees. He had the courage the entire time. The tin man solved a puzzle, a riddle. He had the brain he wanted. And Dorothy, of course, had been with her friends the entire time. She had always been home. To simply become aware of all these things you wish to happen, all these things you wish to create, that allow yourself to realize perhaps now you already have. Simply by chipping away, sanding away, polishing away all those layers that just no longer belonged. And as you allow your mind to integrate these experiences, and become aware of the things you'll do today, the things you'll do tomorrow, planting one foot in front of the other in this path of success you invigorate for yourself now. As you're ready to take that next step, notice how easy it is to bring your full awareness back to this room. Breathing returning to a nice normal pace, beneath those eyelids, eyes becoming clear, and when you're ready to move forward, eyes reopening, feeling refreshed, feeling alert, feeling good. Welcome back.